I have a challenge to start the sermon off this morning. I am going to squeeze this toothpaste out onto this plate, and I would like somebody to try and put it back in the tube. Anybody up for that challenge? Impossible? Smells lovely. Do you think you can put it back? No straw. I have baby wipes and a towel in case somebody really was up for it. Well, of course you can't, can you? Of course you can't put toothpaste back in a tube. It would be daft. And the same of the words that we say. Have you ever said something that hurts someone's feelings and they've said to you, take it back? Well, you can't take it back. Once it's been said, it has been said. No more can you unsay the words than you can put toothpaste back in a tube. That's why we need to be careful about the words we say. Proverbs 10:14 says, he who holds his tongue is wise. She who holds her tongue too is wise also. I still remember some of the hurtful things that were said to me at school as I was growing up. And every time I would come home crying about something Melanie Rymer, sorry, would forgive. Sorry. Every time I would come home upset by something that Melanie Rymer would say to me. It's funny how I still remember, isn't it? Melanie Rymer. Wonder what she's doing now. Anyway, enough. My mum would say this to me. She would say, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what you're talking about, Mother. And you've not met Melanie Rymer. I really hope Melanie Rymer never listens to this. That's not true. Sticks and stones may break our bones. It's a load of rubbish. Because words do hurt us. The Bible says that. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, the Bible says. Our words can cut like a knife. They hurt others. And we know, don't we, that God hears every word before it's formed in our mouth and knows our intentions and our hearts. And so the message that we hear in our epistle this morning from James, loud and clear, is really important for us if we want to be a people who live out love together here and in our world. We've all had occasion when something that has been said to us or about us in our earshot, we have held on to and kept and taken away and pondered on and ruminated. And perhaps in our time of quiet earlier on, you thought of times this week when we've been on the giving side of those words. Our words have power. They can be used to bring joy and build someone up, or they can easily be used to tear someone down. It depends on how they're used. Proverbs 18:21 says this. This is the modern version. Words kill, words give life, they're either poison or fruit. You choose. So our passage from the book of James today is practical wisdom. Common sense little sound bites in the Epistle of James. Throughout James, he's trying to help his readers learn to resist temptation as they bridle their anger and their tongues and their prejudices. The church was tolerating evil in the time of James. They were showing prejudice and favoritism. There was a lot of infighting going on. And church members were even slandering and lying about one another. And they were using their tongues to destroy one another. Eleanor Roosevelt said this: "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people." And whilst that's not scripture, that's also very true, isn't it? The church that James was writing to was full of small-minded people who gossiped about one another and tore one another apart with their tongues. Proverbs says, whoever guards their mouth, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 21:23. Lots of proverbs today. In our reading from James, James uses six word pictures to describe the tongue and to help us see how small and yet powerful it is. The first word picture he uses is a bit. I'm not a horsey person. We should have Jane Howcroft here for this bit. See what I did there? Sorry. The bit is put apparently in a horse's mouth. I've only been on a horse once. Don't like horses. By a trainer. It's a relatively small piece of metal, as you can see, that controls a powerful animal. The bit directs the horse to the right or the left, and by using a bit, you can get a horse to stop. Who knew? You all knew, didn't you, already? And James describes the tongue as a bit. He describes it as a rudder. He says that you can control the direction of a large liner or a small boat, even by a small rudder. And so too, the tongue controls our life. But both the bits and the rudder need to be under the control of a strong hand in order for them to go in the right direction. James describes the tongue as a fire. He uses the image of a forest fire. He says, just like a small spark can ignite an entire forest, words that flow out of our tongues can corrupt lives and shipwreck families. Words that are unleashed without thought can significantly affect others. And he's not holding back, he's James. He says that our tongues can be set on fire by hell itself. Crumbs, James. Like a careless match thrown onto dry grass, our words can demolish people. And we all know that's true, don't we? Do you remember, those of you who are of an age to remember, Karen Carpenter from The Carpenters? Oh, lots of you nodding. Young people like me and Kath, we don't remember. Do you know who The Carpenters are, Kath? She's nodding, she does. Remember, Karen Carpenter died of heart failure at the age of 32, brought on after years of fighting an eating disorder. It came out after her death that her fatal obsession with her weight and her appearance came and was triggered by reading one single reviewer's comment. When referring to Karen, this man called her Richard's chubby sister. Now, I'm sure there are other factors contributing to the struggles that she had, but one comment unleashed the self-doubt and self-loathing that led to this horrible disease and her death. One comment by a keyboard warrior, Richard's chubby sister. A throwaway line that meant nothing to the person writing it. And that is tragic, isn't it? That shows us how we need to watch our words, because our words have power that sometimes we don't know the effect of. Words can spread like fire in our families, in our church, in our community. So ask yourself, what are your words like? Have they maimed others? Have my words maimed? Have my throwaway sarcastic lines hurt people? Are we quick to criticize, to build up, or to tear down? James compares the tongue to a wild animal. It's amazing when you think about it. Every dangerous animal can be tamed. Ferocious lions can jump through burning hoops. Grizzly bears can ride on horses. Elephants can do handstands. Not that I'm recommending any of that sort of zoo sort of practices or circus sort of things. But they can be tamed. We have a remarkable ability to tame ferocious beasts, but we can't get hold of our tongues. James is saying, you know, like snake venom, like corrosive rust, our tongues sometimes are just looking to strike. They're active. They don't rest. I never stop talking. I talk in my sleep. I never shut up. I remember I had to have one of those things. Remember when I had my gallbladder out, where they stick a camera down you and you're meant to be quiet? I just carried on talking. It's like, Reverend Franklin, please. The doctor said, please stop talking. Okay, then. We don't shut up. There's lots of damage that can be done from a wagging tongue. The fifth word picture James uses is that of a spring. And he's trying to get us to see that it's impossible for us to bless and blast out of the same mouth. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The image here, the word image here, is of a fresh flowing stream that has both bitter water and sweet water flowing through it. It doesn't exist. In the Middle East, some springs produce natural water, salt water, and some produce fresh water. No, of course, you can't have both at the same time. And James is saying, just as it's impossible to have a spring with both sweet and salty water, it's also inconceivable from one mouth to have blessings and curses, compliments and cursing. The last word analogy that James uses is that of a fruit or a fig tree. Now, you would expect the gardeners amongst us, if we were growing a fig tree, for it to have figs on it, or a grapevine to have grapes, or an apple tree to have apples, because that's what happens. Nature reproduces after its kind. And James is calling us to be consistent. What comes out of our mouth is a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. Always. If you are forever negative, ask yourself what your heart is like. It's not enough just to hear how powerful our tongues are, or even to leave this morning with understanding a bit more about this passage. If we want to have tame tongues, we need to put into practice what we have heard. Otherwise, what's the point of sitting here listening to me waffling on if we're not going to go and work that out in our daily life? So I'm going to end today with some practical suggestions, things that we can all do, including me, to tame our tongues. The first one is this. We've heard a lot from Proverbs this morning. It's a cracking book, is Proverbs. We studied it last summer as a congregation. It's full of wisdom. I would suggest to you, read Proverbs and James. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. That's one a day for a month. After a month, if you're reading Proverbs and James, with a bit of James every day, you can read through James six times, chapter of Proverbs a day, 31 days, because every chapter in Proverbs, nearly, has something about the tongue. We've heard lots of Proverbs. One day you might read, a man who lacks judgment and woman, it's the same. A man or woman who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Can you get what I'm saying yet? Can you see a theme emerging? Another day in Proverbs, you might read, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We've heard that already. So, you wanna, if this is an issue for you, start with Proverbs and James. Read it. Let it sink in. The second thing I want you to think about today, a suggestion, is ask yourself, are your words flames or flowers? This is a helpful analogy about the choices that we make, this helpful acronym of THINK. To ask ourselves five questions very quickly before we speak, is what we're going to say true? We heard a bit about gossip earlier on. I read an interesting article about a psychologist on Facebook yesterday. I don't know if it was a real psychologist, but it was an interesting article. And the psychologist was suggesting that there's one sentence you need to say when somebody is gossiping to you to make every gossip stop. And that question is, why are you telling me this? Interesting. So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Think before you speak. Is it true, helpful, necessary, inspiring, necessary, or kind? And the same is true for the things that we email or post on social media. Think once before you act, twice before you speak, and three times before you post on social media. Oh, how I wish people stuck to that. Another practical suggestion, bit of tongue-in-cheek here to help us, is talk less. This is mainly to myself, because I have discovered in life that the chances of blowing it with our words are directly proportional to the amount of time we spend with our mouths open. I'm just speaking to myself here. The chances of blowing it with our words are directly proportional to the amount of time we spend with our mouth open. Abraham Lincoln said, better to remain silent and be thought of a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. I read this week, as I was thinking about what to say this morning, about a woman who had a very serious throat condition. And the doctor had told her that her vocal cords needed complete rest and that she was forbidden to speak for 6 months. This is my idea of a nightmare. 6 months without being able to speak. And she had a husband and 6 children. It seemed impossible, but she did what she was told. When she needed the children, she blew a whistle. I'm kind of liking that idea. It's a bit of Von Trapp family. And when she needed to communicate, she wrote it down on a piece of paper. And eventually, months later, her voice returned. And when she was asked what it was like to communicate just in writing, she said this. I thought this was very profound. You'd be surprised how many notes I crumpled up and threw in the bin before I gave them to anyone. Seeing my words before anyone heard them had an effect that I don't think I can ever forget. Interesting. While we might not be able to stop speaking for 6 months, sermons would be interesting. I could mime them. 3 words, first word. Jesus. No, sorry. It's a call to moderate sometimes what we say and how we say it. Another practical suggestion is let's build one another up. Let's be encouragers. The Bible is always reminding us to encourage one another with our words. Are we speaking words of life or not? So let's challenge one another to be lavish in our encouragement and love. Because sometimes we need to do that deliberately, because sometimes we forget. Those of us who are married, sometimes we forget. To our children and our grandchildren, sometimes we forget. To one another, to our siblings. Let's build one another up. Let's make it a habit. Let's seek out blessing where we can by using our words. And the final thing I'd like to suggest this morning is actually the most serious thing that we heard. This from Matthew, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It comes not just from our mouths, but from our heart. Now, I don't want us to leave here today trying to tame our tongues in our own strength. It takes more than willpower and determination. Sometimes we need a bit of a heart transplant. Sometimes it's a Jesus Holy Spirit job to allow God to transform who we are from the inside out. And some of us need that. New hearts. Otherwise, we'll continue to launch verbal grenades and live like we've always lived. When we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, that's what we're asking him to do. We're asking him to take control. But some of us like to keep on pulling that back to ourselves. If we want to be a dispenser of life words rather than death words, then we need God to help us tune our hearts and tame our tongues. So to recap, read Proverbs and James, always a good idea. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Talk less, that's for me. Build up others, and if you need to, have some God-shaped heart surgery. I've been quite convicted as I've been thinking about what to say this week about the quality of our words to one another, about the things that we say, about the things that we email, about the things that we say of one another. May God help us tame our tongues, because this is about the quality of love that we share amongst us. Are we marked out by love? Can they tell we're Christians by the way we love one another? And the words we use are an element of that. Let's pray. Father God, would you help us to be more Christ-like in the words that we use and the manner in which we use them? Father, would you help us as we go about our daily lives, as we have conversations, to model our words on you? Would you help us to think, do I need to say this? Is there a different way I can say this? How can I build someone up? Father, would you help us? Would you challenge us? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.